Hey, just real quick, wanted to let everyone know that just as Nate and I wrapped up recording this basketball podcast, the news came across that North Dakota State offensive line coach AJ Blazek took the same position on Craig Bohl's staff in Wyoming, which I think comes as a surprise, certainly this close to the FCS season. I don't have any, you know, rapid reactions on who they might hire or things of that nature. It's a good topic for another pod. We'll certainly start, you know, digging on that as soon as we can over at Bison Report. But AJ was just a really good football coach. Came in as the, you know, former associate head coach at Rutgers, and was a really big part of kind of reestablishing or establishing, if you will, the Matt Ants culture, a higher level of energy. Was an excellent recruiter. Was great with the fans and the boosters, and was someone that I really enjoyed working with every time we had a chance. So AJ, we'll miss you. I'll miss you, and best of luck on down the road.
There goes Lance in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown!
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum, and joining me today is North Dakota State men's basketball analyst and former NDSU captain, Nate Zastrow. How are we doing, buddy?
We're doing good. Got two conference wins on the road to start the year, so not much better than that, and this team's starting to be really fun to watch, and hopefully they can keep moving that thing forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I wanted to, we haven't spoken to the folks since the Dakota Showcase. So I kind of want to get your thoughts on TCU as well. I know that, you know, podcasts are usually a faster medium than that, normally discussing things that happen a little bit more recently than the TCU game happened. But I wanted to go over there because, you know, in a season and for a coach that hates moral victories, they got another one, man. That was they played such excellent basketball and then didn't come out with a win. Frustrating, but at the same time, that was when I think started to believe in this team. Like, this was kind of a scary deal for Bison fans if you watched that game against Nevada and just saw the way that they ran, they worked offensively without Ward and Shahid. It was like, okay, this might be a little problematic. But then that TCU game, as Griesel kind of got a little bit more, you know, confident and Jarius Cook started to cook. And then, you know, some of the Rocky Cruiser posters, what were your thoughts from that game against TCU?
You know, TCU came out red hot, and it looked like it was kind of going to be a blowout at start. I mean, NDSU was down 36-21 with about 7 minutes left in that first half, and then their offense started to come around, and they almost had it tied by halftime. And I think it just shows how far this team's come, and you're exactly right. I mean, that Nevada game and even most of the Nebraska game, I mean, we were kind of sitting there wondering, is this team going to be able to score enough points to win many games at all? And I think they've come a long way. And I mean, they've had different leading scorers in a lot of these games. So I think you tweeted about it yesterday. I mean, it makes it almost impossible to prepare for. I mean, last year you knew you were going in, you need to prepare for Shahid, you need to prepare for Ward. And this year, I mean, who are you really going to prepare for? It's different guys every game, and I think that balance is going to make them a really tough matchup going forward. I mean, you've had Jarius has kind of been hot and cold this year, but when he's hot, he's hot. And when he's cold, he's cold. Hopefully he can find that happy medium. You're going to get what you get out of Rocky, Tyree, Sam, And anything else from there has kind of been a little bonus with Malik Harden-Hayes and Grant Nelson some games. But yeah, just a matchup nightmare, and they showed it this weekend.
So here, I want to get into this before we get into these games. I want to just ask you the question, and for those listening, I want you to know that we did not discuss this. It's not on the rundown. There really was no pre-production meeting. So I'm just going to ask Nate, and you're going to, in real time, you're going to get his answer. Who is North Dakota State's best player?
I think Sam Griesel right now is the best player. Just all around, I think if you take Sam out of that lineup, you're taking out kind of the most production throughout the lineup as far as handling the ball, handling the team, rebounding, running the show. Sam can go out there and get 20 on a night, and he can go out there and get 5 points and 11 assists on a night. So I think overall the most valued player on the team is Sam right now.
Yeah, we're not going to get super hot takey here because we actually agree. I mean, he is from the point guard position leading the team in rebounds. He's averaging 7.1 a game. He's averaging 10.4 a game, which, by the way, folks, here are their top five scorers: 13 a game, 12 a game, 10 a game, 10 a game, 8 a game. I mean, this team is really difficult to prepare for. And some folks, you might say, well, they're just not that good offensively, but they've been pretty good offensively. And now, they're slashing right now. They're slashing 42, 34, 74, which is not great, but it's also not terrible. I mean, this team is starting to score it a lot better, and they're digging themselves out of a heck of a hole. I agree with Nate. I would like, it's probably better radio if we disagree, but Sam Griesel is doing so much for this team right now, leading the team with quite a bit more, not quite three times, but quite a bit more than double the next closest player in assists. He is leading the team in rebounding. He's third on the team in scoring. I think they've pretty much, and Nate, maybe you can correct me on this, but they've pretty much decided that they're using Edie and Griesel as the defensive stoppers, or doesn't it seem that way to you? Just to me, with as positionless as they are on D, it seems like those are the two guys they're going to guard the Nembhards or the kid from South Dakota State as well. Do you feel that way?
Yeah. And the wing spot on any of these teams is going to be guarded by those two. And the thing is with their lineups is I don't think Richmond's uncomfortable switching at any point in the game. If a team gets hot or starts picking them apart in different screening actions, is they have the lineups to switch 1 through 5. And I think that that's another thing why they're so good defensively is they got guys who can guard multiple positions. Grant Nelson can come in and guard multiple positions. Malik Harden-Hayes can guard multiple positions. And I think that that type of versatility is what makes them tough, because defensively they're going to keep themselves in a lot of games. And the way the offense is playing, it's going to make them a tough team to beat, especially in the Summit League.
Friedel, I can't believe I gapped that one out, but that's who I'm talking about, folks, is Noah Friedel. But yeah, just like I said, it seems to me like Edie, who I think is actually what we tweeted out yesterday, I think Edie is most often the leading scorer, but the leading scorer by average is Rocky Cruiser, who has been exceptional, really. I felt like, he's been really good. He's shooting at 45% from the floor, 43% from three. He's been pretty good at the free throw line as well. I think Rocky's been exceptional. I'd like to see him, work the boards a little bit more, but he's leading the team in block shots. Oh no, actually Grant Nelson is. Jesus, this kid. We'll get to that in a second. But let's talk about the rotation a little bit, because I think it's something that is front of mind for some people. It really appears right now that they're going with kind of an 8-man look. I know it doesn't look like that on the season box score, because, and I'll get to that in a second. I mean, Jackson Notek has been a huge part of their high major games. And then when they play mid-major opponents, sometimes he doesn't even play. It's an interesting situation there. But it really seems like Rocky, Tyree, Sam, Malik, and Jarius are the starters. And then the true freshmen are the bench. Grant Nelson, Bowden Skunberg, and Desmond McKinney, kind of the guard, the wing, and the big that come off the bench. But there are other players that have played, I think all have interesting stories. Like Tyler Witts played in every game last year and was the big off the bench when Rocky Cruiser needed to sit, and that was that. And now he's only played in six games this season. He's averaging 7 minutes a game, and they barely get him on the floor. Biggs Wilson showed up a few times in the Western Illinois series. And then the one that I want you to start with is Jackson Notek and Aiden, and what you think might be going on in practice, or what he's not doing in the games. Because right now, you know, he was one of their better players against TCU, I felt. Certainly kept them in it in that first half. Gave Nebraska the absolute business, was the only reason they didn't get completely run out of that gym, and has been the spark that they've needed offensively. Pretty decent rebounder as well, but ultimately just, you know, was a healthy scratch Sunday against Western Illinois. What do you think's going on there?
Yeah, that one's definitely interesting, because Jackson has had some really good offensive games. Maybe it's something Richmond felt they didn't really need offense as much against a team like Western Illinois, which ultimately they didn't really. But to completely, I mean, 4 minutes on the Friday game and or Saturday game and didn't play in the Sunday game is a bit interesting. Biggs Wilson was also an interesting one, and to throw him in there instead of Witts. Don't have much information inside the team to kind of know what's going on with that. I do think there's going to be moments in this conference season, especially with back-to-back games, where Jackson's going to be needed, where maybe a guy like Skunberg or McKinney are struggling, or Nelson and Jackson's a guy you got to throw in there. Not sure if Richmond depicts Nelson as the same position as Notek, but obviously Nelson's playing really well right now. And I think he's going to roll with kind of what's going well right now. And like I said, there's going to be moments where there's struggle and where you got to grind one on the road and you got to find a different type of rotation to try to get a win. And I think Jackson's going to keep himself ready for that.
Yeah. And that would be, I guess, my advice, just kind of keep your head up, keep grinding along, because they might need 12 off the bench against somebody, and he can go and get that in a hurry. And you know, that again, with COVID, like, you never know when NDSU might just not have three guys available because they live together, because they went out to eat together. I mean, not that saying that they're irresponsible, but just that's the world we live in. Or you know, Tyree has missed a game and Malik has missed a game. You just never know when you're going to, you know, need to be available. And Jax has shown the ability to be available and be functional for 22, 23, 24 minute stretches of games. Just very, like, to me, like I said, very interesting. Still, despite the minutes discrepancy, you know, has outscored both McKinney and Skunberg. Not that scoring is everything, but, you know, despite the fact that those guys are like in the rotation, Jax has still outscored both of them. I don't know what's going on, like I said, with Witts and Odell, but I think you have to be really pleased with Desmond McKinney and with Grant Nelson. And Grant Nelson is definitely the next guy I want to talk about. What in the world was that yesterday?
That, you know, Rocky's poster against TCU was pretty outstanding. Obviously, it made the SportsCenter top 10 plays, but I did not expect him to kind of cock that ball back and just kind of throw it down like that. He took off from outside the charge circle, and you knew he was going to go up, and I thought he was too far away. The length that he does have, I mean, he shot fake one dribble from outside the 3-point line and 1-2 and just tomahawked it. And I mean, I was watching the Packer game at the time, and all of a sudden I saw that, and I usually jump up for good stuff with the Packer game, and I was out of my chair for that dunk. My wife's looking at me like, what the heck is going on? The Packers didn't even do anything. And I was like, oh, some guy from NDSU just absolutely rocked the rim. And yeah, it was pretty exciting. And The kid keeps showing different things each game. Yesterday, hits a three, and he's altering shots around the rim, rebounding, keeping balls live on the offensive glass, and it's crazy, but he's just going to continue to get better. So good luck, Summit League, in the next 4 years.
Yeah. So for those of you that haven't seen it, it is on our Twitter account, and that's at Bison Report on Twitter. That dunk has been clipped and is there. And let me tell you, man, I think my guy's left foot was at the tee in Summit when he took off. If you guys have ever been to any Summit League arena where they have the league logo, he, I mean, just, but so like so long and so athletic. And like, I think Rocky Cruiser is a great player. I think a lot of folks are excited to have a 6'10 guy that has the skills that Rocky has. Grant has the skills of a guard just because he was 6'3 until I think sophomore or junior year when he sprouted up. Got a real chance to be special at North Dakota State, and you know has a chance, of course, to basically play five seasons. I know this will be truncated. You know, this won't be the length of a normal college basketball season, but if the Summit League and if North Dakota State can stay healthy, if they can keep the COVID monster away, apply for a waiver of competition, you know, you could have 5 years of Grant Nelson, who by the end of those 5 years might own some records at North Dakota State just based on games played and, you know, his talent level, man, is just sky high. He's very special. Like I mentioned, he's already altering shots. He is leading the team right now in block shots. He's something, man. We're going to have a little highlight tape up of his later today on Bison Report's Twitter account. But that was, you can just see kind of the surface being scratched with him. And you watch him play too. I mean, it's important to remember this was a very weird offseason. They haven't had a lot of prep. And it's important to, you know, say that about both, you know, Bowden and Des McKinney as well. These guys have not had a normal true freshman year. And so many of the freshmen that you've seen during your time or your time as Bison basketball fans have been guys that redshirted and got prepared for an entire season, like Taylor Braun, like AJ Jacobson, you know, folks that have had a chance to sit for a year. And these guys are not sitting. They're ready to go, man. All right, let's turn the page back to Saturday, which was a nice game from Rocky Cruiser and a nice game from Malik Harden-Hayes. But what did you kind of take away from the conference opener, Nate?
I think NDSU kind of set the precedent that the league still goes through them. They shot the ball extremely well. Western's still trying to find their groove with a lot of new players, and you could tell that. Looked kind of a little bit like some AAU basketball with them on the offensive end where they'd run some type of set, and then it was just one-on-one ball, and NDSU did a great job packing the lane and forcing them into really tough jump shots. And NDSU ran their offense. They pounded the ball inside to start, which is what you need to do, especially when you got the size that they have, which led to a lot more inside-out threes. I mean, 9 for 19 from the three-point line is really good, especially on the road. And if you hold a team to under 30%, you're going to win most games. So I thought that they came out strong and kind of set the pace for the rest of the game. And they really didn't let Western even sniff a comeback. I don't know if it got under 8 in that second half at all. Saturday's game was really good to see. It's the recipe for winning on the road. If I'm going to nitpick a little bit, 9 for 17 from the free throw line isn't good, and 19 turnovers isn't good. But thankfully, they had a lead to be able to do things. Not do things like that, but to be able to kind of that not to matter, I guess is the best words to say with that. They had a balanced effort. I thought Desmond McKinney was really good. 4.6 rebounds, 4 assists. Griesta with another double-double, 11 points, 12 rebounds. And a guy like Jarius has an awesome game Sunday. I mean, he played 19 minutes, 0 for 4, was complete non-factor, 4 fouls. And just their depth was able to kind of just get contributions from other places. And I think that we're going to see that game in and game out. If one guy's not having a great game, they have other pieces that can contribute so that they can still get victories.
Yeah, I think one thing too that I really wanted to make note of was just the way that we've been speaking, because they've been playing high major teams, obviously, you know, for most of this this season. But you saw the way, I think, that North Dakota State's length really gave mid-major teams problems, because Will Karius and Rod Johnson were fine, and I thought Tamel Pearson was pretty good as well. But Justin Brookins, who was the very short point guard for Western, is kind of your mid-major point guard. Like, there's a lot of 5'9", and shoot, they had one in Vinny Shaheed, and there's a lot of those shorter point guards in this league, and they just absolutely swallowed him up because of, you know, whether it's Sam Griesel guards him, and then it's a screen 1-4, they switch that, but the 4 happens to be Grant Nelson. Well, now he's 5'9", and the guy guarding him is 6'10", and moves decently well. Or he gets switched on to Tyree, who's too strong, or Malik, who's too long. And that really, I think, is what I took away from that first game, was Jesus, these guys are good defensively.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's just how Richmond's built the program and how they have their schemes defensively, and they're going to pack it in the lane and make teams shoot contested jump shots. And then if they do get in the lane, they got Rocky sitting there at 6'11", and they got Grant Nelson there at 6'10", and they got Tyree Edie, who's built like a brick house at the rim, where they got to finish through guys and over guys. And if they can continue to do that, which they will, because that's how their defense is built, it's going to make it tough for teams towards the bottom of the Summit League, like Western typically has been, to score, because you're going to have to hit jump shots. And yeah, there's going to be teams that can shoot it. South Dakota State can shoot it, or Roberts can shoot the crap out of it. Omaha has their games where they shoot it really well, but you're going to have to do it throughout 40 minutes, because the way they're playing offensively, they're going to keep coming at you. And if you have any type of a cold spell against a tough defense, it's going to be tough to beat them.
Yeah, and that was something that I thought I noticed, certainly, from the officiating crew in this game, and something that I would hope, if you're hoping that North Dakota State does well, I think you would really hope that they are going to continue to not bail out teams that just dive into North Dakota State defenders in the restricted area, because what Richmond teaches, and then they do so well, is the ability to have your hands straight up, and the ability to, you know, make you shoot over them. And a lot of the answer to that in the past, or, you know, from guys that were crafty or get a lot of calls or whatever you want to call it, is just jump in and create the contact. And I thought that there was a number of times where Griesel or Nelson or Cruiser got into position and went vertical and did not, you know, do that little thing where you lean or you swat with one of the two hands, and became really difficult to shoot over, and did not get the foul call. You know, they stayed straight up, the guard or the big or whoever came in and tried to initiate contact, tried to head to the free throw line, and the official swallowed their whistle, as they are supposed to do. I think North Dakota State will be a very interesting team to see how they're officiated throughout the rest of the season, because they're very technically sound defensively. And as long as with their length, they continue to be technically sound, teams are going to have to make a lot of contested shots to get into the 60s and 70s against North Dakota State.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what they're taught. I mean, if the guards get blown by, their job is to stay in the play and at least stay on the side of the offensive players so that the big can wall them up at the rim and the guard can't make a move and split to get the big out of position and help side. So, yeah, I mean, that's what they're taught. And it's good to see officials. You kind of see it in the bigger games too, which is a little bit harder to officiate sometimes. Yeah, that's what coaches are teaching. They're letting them get that verticality, and with NDSU's size, if they continue to let that go, it's going to make them an even better defensive team going forward.
What did you think of the matchup on Sunday? I know, you know, I had professional obligations covering the Packers. You are a Packers fan, so maybe attention wasn't at its highest, but what did you see in that game?
You know, I wouldn't say proud of Western Illinois, but they came out with some fight. I mean, they kind of jumped on North Dakota State, and it was good to see them respond in a way to just kind of weather the storm. They still played well offensively. Western came out hitting a couple threes. They actually were out to like an 8-point lead early. And North Dakota State just kept with their defensive principles, kept playing well offensively. They actually shot better from the floor on Sunday than they did Saturday throughout the whole 40 minutes. It's one of those things where if a team's not a great shooting team and they hit a couple, you just got to keep doing what you do defensively. Don't get panicked. And the percentages ended up playing out. I mean, Western hit some threes early and ended up 6-for-23 from the game. So I think Richmond did a great job with the minutes on Saturday. I think I posted about it that no one played over 28 minutes, and Edie played that amount. They had a lot of guys in that 16 to 26 range, which allowed them on Sunday, if they were in more of a grinder, to play some guys 30 or more minutes, where Griesel played 37, Edie played 35, and Cook played 31. So you can kind of tighten up that rotation to make sure that you can get that road sweep with guys that you know are going to contribute. Obviously, Nelson was unreal yesterday, 13 points on 5 of 6 shooting, hit a 3, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks. He was a difference maker yesterday. And a guy like McKinney, who played really well on Saturday, struggled a bit Sunday. I mean, he was 0 for 3, 0 for 2 from the 3. And a guy like Bowden, who's going to be good, but there's also going to be games, which we talked about pre-conference season, where he's not going to play as many minutes, and there might be a game where he's got it rolling offensively and goes and plays 20 minutes. But the bench definitely tightened up a little bit yesterday to make sure you get that road sweep, and just another solid overall effort all from all around, especially the starting five. I mean, 6 players in double figures makes it pretty impossible to defend any one guy. And it was good to see them find a way to get that done and get a road sweep.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that plays in, you know, with the minutes thing. That's why, you know, I think it would be a great idea to find 12, 14 minutes a game for Jackson Notek. I think you could pull 6 minutes off of Edie or whatever. I mean, I just think that there's no reason in a season like this when you're playing back-to-backs, you know, to not go 9 deep when you have 9 guys that can contribute at a high level. But man, one thing I wanted to touch on too, that we spoke before, like, this is going to come for Grant Nelson from deep. He hit 54 threes, during the course of his career at Devil's Lake. He hit 33 threes as a senior. I don't have the temps up, so I don't know what his percentages were. But ultimately, I mean, this kid is a scorer. Like, he's gifted. He averaged, 24 points per game, averaged 5.7 blocks a game, and averaged 18 rebounds a game. Like, this kid's a stat stuffer, and you saw it a little bit. Now, there's a difference, as Coach Richmond has pointed out, between playing Valley City and playing, Wahpeton. But at the same time, he's been very good, and the sky is the absolute limit for this kid. Folks, we're going to come back with a Omaha preview a little later in the week, because it's an interesting thing. I think you really have a chance right now to, we talked about it a little bit before, you could be looking at a 6-0 or a 5-1 start for North Dakota State while banking 4 road games already completed, because this Omaha team cannot guard anyone. And that's where North Dakota State, I think, really has an advantage, because they'll slow you down, whoever you are. But if you can't guard, they'll score too. And that's why this Omaha series at home is a chance to move to 4-0 in league play and then head up to Grand Forks, where you either sweep or split. Really exciting stuff potentially for the beginning of this Summit League season. Nate, anything else to add?
No, I think you're exactly right. And Omaha, obviously, we had Oral Roberts at home this week and didn't win either game at home. So they're going to be hungry this week. But like you said, they couldn't guard Oral Roberts to save their life. And yeah, they can be good offensively, but if NDSU slows them down, they're going to get a little panicked and going to be forced to hit shots. So we'll talk about it a little more later this week. Good to get 2 wins, and hopefully it can carry over and get a couple home games this week finally.
All right, Nate, we appreciate it. Talk to you later, man.
Yep, have a good one.